Good evening and welcome into Sports Radio 810. I guess you could have been here before. Maybe welcome is the wrong word, but welcome to me, dang it. Welcome to me late. I tweeted this earlier. I will reiterate it now if you're listening live or watching live on the 810 Facebook page. I had a power nap and a bucket of cold brew coffee within the last handful of hours. So I'm wired. I am here to talk about the Chiefs with you this evening here on 810. Beards McFly on the other side of the glass.
Meanwhile, I just exist at night.
Yeah, that's true. Beards, he does this really unnerving thing. We had to install a special, like, little, just shut the door with your mic on everything, I guess, Beards.
I didn't realize my mic was on.
I
turned it off. I hit the button, but
no.
I guess it didn't.
Well, buttons don't work sometimes. It was good Foley work. We ended up getting, you know how they have those pull-up bars that you can put, like, in a doorway? We actually bought one of those for the office, but it's just so Beards can hang upside down there and sleep during the day. Because Beards' existence truly does happen for the most part, at least starting from like 4 p.m. on. And I'm chemically enhanced by cold brew coffee, which is great, by the way. So someone tweeted, nap in a cold brew. This is funny stuff, even if unintended. Oh, make no mistake. This is intended to be funny. The problem is whenever it's fun, it's not funny, and it's intended to be funny. That's whenever we get into some trouble. So we're gonna be here with you till about midnight tonight. Give you an hour of Chiefs talk to wrap up your day, or if you listen to the podcast, which you can always do for anything that I'm saying into a microphone, will always be available via podcast at 810WHB.com, the 810 mobile app, or you can just subscribe to Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcast. This isn't technically Almost Entirely Sports, but we're going to put it up there because I want to make sure people can hear all of our good, good Chiefs talk. What are you smirking at, Beards?
William on Facebook asked, why are you guys on? Is there an emergency? And I said, the emergency is we can't stop talking about the Chiefs!
That's exactly right. No, we're just doing some different.
There hasn't been Chiefs talk in a long time on the station.
Right, it's been
hours.
It's been hours since we last talked Chiefs. No, we're just doing some different stuff during the MLB playoffs and everything. And today, honestly, if this wasn't like scheduled, I still would have like hit the panic button and gotten Beards in to at least hit some buttons on the on a podcast format or whatever, because I legitimately haven't stopped thinking about something Patrick Mahomes said at Arrowhead today for the last, like 11 hours or so. And you may be saying, wait, didn't you say you took a power nap? I dreamt about this audio clip I'm about to play for you. I legitimately was, like, floored by something. And so we'll get to that here in just a second, but we'll talk about some things that Mahomes said out at Arrowhead today. Plus, we talked to Seth Kaiser last night. Again, if you missed it, just hop on the podcast page, the AES one, or go to the AES section, the 810 mobile app. And he finally, that article that we were referring to with Seth last night dropped on The Athletic, and there's even more there that I want to try to talk about a little bit more tonight, because I think it's just absolutely fascinating. Plus, the Jags owner still doesn't want to trade Jalen Ramsey, and Stephon Diggs is apparently unhappy in Minnesota. So we'll get to a handful of those things here tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. But first, the most interesting thing that I have heard in the media room at Arrowhead this year came from Patrick Mahomes. And it was something that we had kicked around a little bit on the post-game show, talked about a little bit last night. Something I'm just genuinely really interested in that was sort of a, I don't want to say it was a throwaway. It was kind of a throwaway thing on the broadcast, but to in fairness to the broadcast that lots of people had criticisms for on Sunday, I wouldn't have picked up on this if they hadn't addressed it. And I've been really interested in it in the last couple of days since then. There was that play where, in fact, like I should tell you even when that was. It was one of the passes of Travis Kelce. It was on the fourth drive Okay, it was on the drive where they went down the tied up with the LeSean McCoy touchdown. On that fourth drive, Mahomes is in the pocket, and Travis Kelce is beyond the sticks for the first down, downfield a little bit. And it looks like Travis Kelce cuts off his route because he's in kind of a bubble of space. And they pointed it out on the broadcast that if he would have continued to the sideline, he would have ended up running in the traffic. And so I saw that and thought that was really interesting. And we kicked it around a little bit on the postgame show and everything. And I was just interested in what was going on there. So we got through a good chunk of Mahomes' presser today, and it seemed like most of the obvious stuff had been discussed. So I asked about that route and that throw to Kelce. And said, you know, what the broadcast sort of referring to. And I asked if that's what happened there, and if that is what happened there, how do you build chemistry with a receiver to that point where you know that he's about to, like, improv cut off his route in, you know, when he's changing something in the play like that whenever this entire offense is so precise and you make all of these plans so far in advance and everything seems like it's scripted out so much. Whenever there's something that's called like that, where Kelce makes a call like that on the field, I was a little less wordy on my actual question, just for the record. Whenever you make a decision like that on the field, you know, how do you have that connection with the pass catcher that allows you to know that that's about to happen instead of leading a receiver like you would in any other circumstance? And Mahomes' answer here genuinely stunned me, because a lot of the preconceptions that I had about what was happening in this play were just wrong.
Yeah, I think it goes off the coverage, and Coach Reed does a great job of talking through every single coverage on almost every single route. And so there's times where they're cutting off their route and changing their route kind of on the fly, but we've talked about it before, and we've worked that look in practice so that I know they're going to do that, and I can throw that to them and trust that they're going to make that adjustment on the fly.
How often would you say that happens?
It happens a lot, and I feel like that's one of the reasons why this offense is hard. It's hard to stop, is because we're not necessarily running just what the lines say. We're kind of basing it off the coverages, and Coach Reed's explaining it to us during the week and putting us in those situations to execute at a high level.
I kind of feel like myself talking now is doing you, the listener, a disservice, because I just want to loop that 10 times until everyone stares at the sky and says, "What the bleep? Wait a second. They planned that? They planned stuff like that? And it happens a lot? That happens frequently? Hold on. You're telling me that multiple times, maybe frequent times during the course of a game, Mahomes is looking at a defense, the receiver's looking at a defense, and I have no doubt that Kelce is probably the most exceptional at this. That makes sense. He's a vet, and he and Mahomes have been working together.
And he's really good.
Constantly, and he's extremely good. And he's always a matchup problem and all of that. So, I imagine that Kelce's, at least as good at this as anybody. But Andy Reid is telling these guys to do this because these are going to be places where you can beat the defense whenever the defense has beaten you. This is such an OP counter move.
I have an analogy.
Please.
It's like the opposing defense has a math problem, or they're assigned math homework.
Yes.
And they're like, "Oh, sweet, we only have three problems we have to worry about tonight." And then they open up their math book, and it's problem one, A, B, C, D, E.
Yes.
What? Problem two,
A, B, C, D, E.
And they're just like, "Oh, no, we actually have to worry about everything."
Yes! Yes! Like, on the play that I was referring to, they mentioned this on the broadcast, like, if the play would have continued, if it would have been run out as, you know, the charted play was supposed to go, the defense would have gotten a gold star on that one. Because they did 3A, and we're like, "Oh, we're done." Without noting, B, C, D, E, F, G. And like,
how many watermelons?
And I know, I don't think you can confuse this with receivers having options in routes, because that's a thing. I know that's a thing. But that's not how I understood this here. We're like, okay, well, hey, you can go this way or the, you know, read the defense and then either go downfield or break it off towards the middle. And after I've heard this and after I've processed this a couple of times, I can think of circumstances where, you know, where I think DeMarcus Robinson sees the coverage and just decides, nope, bleep that. I'm tearing it right upfield and Patrick's going to get it to me. So I know that there are even instances in which, you know, you see something change and you audible what you're doing because it's something like obvious. But the fact that they are changing routes on the fly and do it all the time in practice, and that they're getting all of these looks. Mahomes said in there, they're getting these looks in practice, so they know that whenever they get these looks in the game, they're going to do stuff like, hey, just cut it off right here in this space, because this is probably what it's going to look like. I just am overwhelmed by the fact that I don't think we really understand what we're watching. Play this audio again, Beards. I've listened to this 10 times today, and every time I'm more baffled by it, so you can listen to it at least a second time.
Yeah, I think it goes off the coverage, and Coach Reed does a great job of talking through every single coverage on almost every single route. And so there's times where they're cutting off their route and changing their route kind of on the fly, but we've talked about it before, and we've worked that look in practice so that I know they're going to do that, and I can throw that to them and trust that they're going to make that adjustment on the fly.
How often would you say that happens?
It happens a lot, and I feel like that's one of the reasons why this offense is hard to stop, is because we're not necessarily running just what the lines say. We're kind of basing it off the coverages, and Coach Reed's explaining it to us during the week and putting us in those situations to execute at a high level.
I mean, yeah, no kidding, it's hard to stop. Again, I don't want to, like, feel like, I don't want anyone to think I'm exaggerating here. He used the phrase on the fly twice. And this is just where the offense is at. Like, it's just working. And I would love to talk about this with more offensive coaches and quarterbacks to try to figure out how prevalent this is throughout the league. But I feel like I can at least say without qualifiers that the Chiefs are as good at that as anybody could possibly be, because this is an Andy Reid staple, apparently. I found out today. This is now a Patrick Mahomes staple, apparently. And maybe this is like a Madden thing where you think of all the ways that people who aren't playing football at an NFL level, which is almost everyone, statistically speaking, almost everyone who watches football didn't play it professionally. But it's like backyard kind of stuff. It's street football stuff. While being in this like almost scientific environment, there was an ESPN.com article that was telling some kind of funny, weird Andy Reid stories. That was really interesting. And at one point, I hadn't even really considered this until literally this moment, on the fly, you could say. I'm ready to try out, Coach. I can give you five good routes a game as long as nobody hits me. But the article mentions actually Rick Burkholder. It quotes Rick Burkholder talking about how Andy Reid's mom was a doctor and his dad was an artist, which is like such a good start to this already. But you can see like it just in this specific thing we're talking about here, where you get a little bit of the artistry, if you will, of hey, feel it out. Break this route off. Stop this route. Cut this route off here. You guys get it. You're on the same page. You know what we're all looking for the same thing. I trust you, the pass catchers, to know what you're looking at. I trust you, the quarterback, to know what you're looking at. Yeah, man, cut it off. Well, everything else there is like almost literally like surgical. I just think it's wild. And we don't see that in Madden, right? That was the larger point I was getting to. Like in Madden, again, you can have sort of like option routes where the AI will decide, or maybe even you can decide. I haven't played the newer versions of Madden. But, you know, you can say, oh, I want him to go this way or this way, trying to find the soft spots in a zone or trying to find where there's no help in man or whatever like that. But the idea that this is just happening constantly over the course of Chiefs game, I just find completely bonkers. I just think it's completely, completely wild that I feel like I felt – like I was just sort of catching up on the idea that like there are so many moving parts in this offense, and there are so many there are so many minute details. We're like in the Lions game, and we'll hear Mahomes talk about this in a little while. But you see wherever the timing is just off by a little bit. Well, it's because everything here is about precision. So much of this is precise, and I'm so in all the precision of it. Now I find out today that occasionally the surgery gets interrupted so you can finger paint, and it all works. It's wild to me.
Ruben has a comment on the Facebook page. How do they do that and not throw a lot more picks?
I don't know. That's right. I'm glad that Ruben in the comments is saying things like I'm thinking, and I have been thinking all day. We're honestly, like, listen, I like to be an expert. I genuinely think that me calling myself an expert on some level is at least somewhat justified. I feel like I understand what I'm seeing to a decent degree, but to that question, my genuine answer is, dude, I have no idea.
I have an answer.
Is the answer Patrick Mahomes?
Yes. Do you need a better answer than that?
Andy Reid, and that those are the only two answers. You can alternate.
That is also an answer that is accepted on the Scantron.
1A, 1B, 1C. Just alternate. Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes. Because I don't know, man. Because that's the thing. And I guess the answer. I guess the answer.
Or even just miss more, not necessarily interceptions.
Oh, yeah. No, but think about it, dude. Go back to the route that we're talking about where Kelsey's running to the right sideline and he cuts it off in space. If Mahomes leads him like he would in, you know, if he expected him to actually finish the route like he was planning on doing originally, like the play dictated, then he's probably throwing straight into a bunch of traffic, and that ball's either going off the back of somebody's helmet or into the hands of a lion. Paws of a lion? Anyway.
Mouth.
Mouth of a lion.
Jaws.
Well, that's a shark. I understand the question, though, because if you throw where you think he's going to be, where he was planning on being, it's a pick. It's a pick, or at the very least, an incompletion. But the reason it works is because they both know that this is one of the... Practice, I guess, is the answer. Because they both know that in this exact situation, and my God, think about the number of situations that they practice and never see in a game. But what if the Lions show us this thing, and this thing, and this thing, that never actually end up happening? Like, that must happen so much. But whenever you are confident that you and your pass catcher are on the same page, I guess stuff like that just starts working. And also, I mean, there are a handful of times where Mahomes seemed frustrated in the Lions game. And this is going to, and this is why I love this audio so much, because so rarely in what, Beard's 33 seconds or something?
Yeah.
Was it actually 33?
Yeah.
Wow.
0.018, but yeah.
I've listened to this often enough that I guess I nailed it. In 33 seconds.
Just get this tattooed on your arm and the WAV file.
And, you know, some people get like a loved one saying, I love you. They get the WAV file, the wavelengths or whatever. I don't know how to explain that to someone who doesn't look at audio all day. It's kind of a weird thought. But instead of getting I love you, it's going to be a 33-second clip of Patrick Mahomes explaining improving routes on the fly. That's great. I think it's a great idea. 33 seconds is a long time, so it might have to be a whole, like, inner forearm. What was I even talking about? I got so distracted. Oh, so rarely does 33 seconds of perfect audio, like, fundamentally change how you're going to watch an offense for the next 10 years. I've often fairly been accused, I think, of being dramatic about things, believe it or not. But like, I don't think I'm being overdramatic here. That 33-second clip, I will think about every Chiefs game that Patrick Mahomes plays and that Andy Reid coaches for the rest of my life. Because whenever you see Mahomes, I think there was a play with, I mean, I think there were multiple plays with Hardman and Robinson both. One specifically sticks out where like he's gesturing at the receiver after the fact. And my thought whenever stuff like that happens is, oh, they called a route, they gave a number, and the receiver ran the wrong thing. He didn't hear it right or didn't remember it right, or, you know, he got knocked off his timing, or maybe he started jogging when the quarterback wanted him sprinting, whatever. But now there's an entire other category of what could be happening in that situation. He could have said, hey, the safety went that direction. We practiced that if this space clears out, you curl this route around there, and I'm going to hit you for 15 instead of trying to shoot downfield for 25 because that safety's backpedaling to your side. We don't need that mess. Turn around. You know that you're supposed to do that if that thing happens. On, like, the third inception level of this play, I just think it's fascinating. I really, really do. The amount of moving parts in this offense, I feel like we're still kind of just getting a grasp of, because there really is so much there. But the mere concept of, yeah, you know, we change the routes on the fly, like a lot of times a game.
We plan on it.
Yeah. They change routes on the fly, and we plan for it, not just to, like, improv, but, like, we pretty much know what they're going to, we pretty much know what we're going to do if they do this other thing, which, and seriously, I say, like, it's an overpowered counter move. Do you know how impossible that is for a defense? I mean, like, Mahomes, like, was, like, almost, like, giggling at the idea of, like, yeah, how do you stop that? Because how do you? Because when you're an offense, you call your play and you line up out there, and then the defense, they've also obviously called, you know, they have a certain personnel set and a certain pass rush in mind and certain coverage and everything like that. But sort of, I would argue, the fundamental tenet of playing defense in football is, I'm going to stick with this guy, or I'm going to stick with my area, or I'm going to go get this guy, right? Like, really, really oversimplified, I would say those are kind of the three things you can be doing in a defensive play. And you could be doing that really well. And also, you watch all this tape. You watch all of this tape, and you could know the play. Beards and I were talking about this earlier. Because I've literally been, like, yelling at Beards about this for, like, 3 hours straight.
It's not a joke.
It's really not. Like, I'm obsessed with this audio. Where, like, you know, in Madden, you can hold one of the trigger buttons or whatever, or, like, I don't know. I mostly play GameCube, so for me, I'm thinking it was either, like, L or Z or something. Or maybe it's the C stick where you can, that's it. Because when you're playing in multiplayer mode, if you move the C stick up, it shows you the real play. But if you go left, right, or down, it shows you a different play so you're not just showing your opponent what you're about to run. And I always loved that because it shows you, like, some field, some really, like, you know, first grade level field spacing stuff. But you could literally, as a defense, control C stick up and see what that route is going to be. And you could have all the film, you could have all the expertise, you could have all the right players out there, you could have the right personnel set. And then, in a way you've literally never seen before, one of those routes changes during the play because you're in the right spot. Like, you as a defense did the right thing. Therefore, now the Chiefs are beating you. How frustrating is it to be a defense against this damn team? You won. Therefore,
you did everything right. Therefore,
everything right. Therefore, the offense changed what they were doing, and you did it wrong now.
In the middle of the play.
In
not an adjustment.
1 second.
In the middle of the play.
Not an audible. Not a call from the line. Not a nothing. Except for, Kelsey is about to cut to go across the middle of the field, and he's running across the middle of the field, and you're just waiting there. You're just waiting there going, yeah, I dare you to throw it to where Kelce is going because I'm going to pick it off. And the ball just goes 6 yards to your left, and you go, ah, bleep it. And it's first down Chiefs. I just think that's wonderful. I just think it's so interesting and so much fun.
One comment really quickly that I saw from Sam asked, same offense as with Alex, is this why it takes, quote, so long to get the offense?
It's a really good theory. Yeah. I've made a couple of analogies, and I think I mentioned this, I said something to this effect on the show last night, but whenever you ask about, you know, is this the same offense they were running with Alex Smith? Which again, I mean, yes, fundamentally, yes. But I compared it to Andy Reid as a puppeteer with a marionette. And with Alex Smith to Donovan McNabb and Kevin Cobb and Nick Foles and every quarterback, you know, he's ever coached, you get differing levels of marionette, right? You go, ah, this one's better than this one, this one's better than this one, this one can do this, but not this. And with Patrick Mahomes, he's marionetting like Pinocchio the real boy. So the things you can do are next level because the puppet is alive and doing things on its own in a way that no quarterback has ever done for Andy Reid. And so I imagine that even in only his second year as a starter and barely into his second year as a starter, in case you've forgotten that, I think he's already probably to a point where there's an amount of stuff that he's trying and that they're doing as an offense that Andy Reid never even would have like that he only would have had in his dream journal about stuff he wanted to eventually do in an offense if suddenly his puppeted quarterback was able to speak and dance on its own. So fundamentally, I think this is, you know, the same offense. And this certainly, I mean, people talk all the time about the assignments and the different stuff as a receiver. And maybe for me, this just hadn't been explained in a way that I went, oh, wait, that's what's happening here. So I'm imagining that like someone will tweet me and be like, oh, how did you not know this happened in this offense? But I've certainly never heard it explained this way.
Hey, speaking of which, Gern, G-E-R-N,
okay,
on Twitter, replied, of course the receivers read his own and sit in the gap. Been doing it for decades.
That's not the same thing. This can't be a real name. Gern Blanston can't be a real name. Oh, actually, I just hovered over their avatar, and it's, now I'm going to dunk on myself because I can't remember the name of the front man of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Nope, Foo Fighters. Damn it. Dave Grohl. I did it. I couldn't remember Dave Grohl's name, and then I called the Foo Fighters the Hot Chili Peppers. That's a bad play for me. That's not what's happening here. I don't know how you can listen to that and go, oh yeah, this is sitting in a gap. This is stuff that they're orchestrating the entire week leading up to the game. Of here's stuff we're expecting to see. And then you can break it off in this variety of ways. I just think that's a gross oversimplification of something that is absolutely fascinating to me. And again, I said this towards the top. If this is explained in a way that is finally made as understandable as it is in this audio we played earlier, doing it at this level is wild. And I imagine that Gern could go to a Chiefs practice or open up one of the playbooks or have this explained by Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes in a way that would make you go, oh God, this isn't sitting in a gap of a zone defense in high school. This is rocket surgery.
They open up the book and there's like a camera front facing them, and as they open the book, the light just shines out of it onto their face.
That's a great idea.
Like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Yes, it would be that sort of majestic. But it's also like the memory eraser from Men in Black, because as soon as you look at the playbook, it's immediately wiped from your memory.
Oh, they leave that room and there's just like stars in their eyes.
Yes.
It just looks like a galaxy in there.
Also, please don't tweet me about the phrase rocket surgery, because someone did that last time I said it, and I said it on purpose.
I had a basketball coach that said that once. That was a joke. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is a joke.
Yeah, it's funny.
I think that audio is great. I think it's really, really interesting. It's, we plan this. It happens all the time. And you do it on the fly. Constantly. And we do it in practice. For everybody. How do you stop us? If it really is.
Yeah, you just sit in the gap in the zone. Just sit in the zone.
Why doesn't every team have 1,000% completion percentage? This is, you can take that as a starting place. I'm totally okay with that. But whatever this expands into what we're talking about with the Chiefs doing it, it's a celebrity chef. It's Gordon Ramsay making these incredibly dainty scrambled eggs while you're dropping an egg into some hot water and saying, yeah, I made an egg also. What's the big deal here? I've been making eggs for decades. It's not the same thing. Beard's looking at computers with an incredibly concerned face.
Our recording computer is behaving strangely.
Well, I need to take a break anyway, so we'll take a break and then we'll see if Beards can perform CPR on any of our computers. I'm Josh Briscoe. That's Beards McFly. We'll talk more Chiefs and all sorts of things throughout the world of football whenever we come back on Sports Radio 810.
Kansas City's hometown sports station. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into a little extra Chiefs talk to end your evening here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Briscoe, Beards McFly. Hits all the buttons. If you want more of us on a regular basis, or to just make sure you get all the podcasted stuff from tonight, and also we'll be back doing this again on Friday, make sure you subscribe to the Almost Entirely Sports podcast feed, or page, or fade, I guess, which is where I got caught in the middle there. And we will we'll make sure you get everything that we do here over the course of probably, you know, most of the MLB playoffs. Well, we got baseball going on that's bumping us back. We'll be giving you some Chiefs talk no matter when that ends up being. If it has to be at 2 a.m. following a, what was the longest baseball game that ran last postseason that you had to run, Beards?
I mean, there's been multiple 18-inning games that I've run before, but I don't know if that was a postseason game last year or not.
Okay, fair enough.
There's been like three of those in my history here.
I'm afraid that the fourth one is going to end with you walking into the ocean. Or at least that little lake we have over there.
There's a chance.
So hopefully that doesn't happen. But we'll be here after baseball again on Friday at the very least, and make sure we get you some Chiefs talk to either wrap up your nights, or if you subscribe to the podcast, maybe get you started the next morning. There are a few other things from Chiefs availability today out of Arrowhead that I thought were interesting from Patrick Mahomes. We won't spend 30 minutes on any of the other clips because nothing is as interesting to me as that first clip was. But there were a couple of things. One of the other questions I was going to ask, and then somebody else asked it probably better than I would have, at least more concisely at the very least, looking at what was happening in that game against the Lions, because for all the talk we just had about both precision and sort of improvisational ability in an offense that the Chiefs clearly have, they seemed knocked off their spot a little bit, a handful of times over the course of that Lions game. So Mahomes was asked, what was Detroit doing on Sunday, or maybe what were you guys not doing successfully in that game?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously had a great defensive game plan and played really good man coverage and really got up there and pressed us and were physical. But there was times where either I missed the throws or the receivers didn't run necessarily the perfect route or a mixture of everything offensive line and block for a certain amount of time. And that's just stuff that we have to get better at as a team. We can't miss something here or there. Whenever we get those opportunities against a good defense like Detroit, you have to take advantage of those.
And I do think there's like, I don't want to say cop out, but I think there's maybe an oversimplification in there a little bit. Like, oh, it's got to be better at that kind of stuff. Like, obviously, whenever you are playing a good defense, when they give you an opportunity, you have to capitalize on it. that's relatively, you know, obvious slash common knowledge. And lots of quarterbacks will say an obvious thing, you know, so that you just hear it in their voice and all that. But trying to figure out what that looks like in the long term, I do think is going to be really important to this team and to this offense. Because with the ability they have to work outside of the structure and all of that, whenever you are able to make that work, but it's not really evident whenever your timing is just off, like that's a different thing. And so solving that problem is more complicated than anything Mahomes can say in audio like that. And it's probably more complicated than they can solve in any handful of meetings. But I do think it's interesting and worth touching on. The other thing Mahomes talked about that I thought was worth you hearing from was about the play where he looked back at the referee. What was happening there? That was basically the question. Our friend Nate Taylor of The Athletic, who's on 8:10 earlier tonight, right, Beards? Who's on Crunch Time?
Yep. Find that on the podcast.
There you go. See?
Additional programming.
810WP.com or the 810 mobile app. Go to additional programming. Crunch Time. He asked Mahomes about that. He said people were sort of speculating maybe he was looking back there for the flag as he eyeballed the ref. And Mahomes' logic for why he did that I found absolutely delightful.
Yeah, that was exactly it. I looked back to see if there was a penalty. And I saw that I had the room to run and I could probably get the first down, but I didn't want to run like 50 yards if I was going to get called back and have to run another play. So I kind of just looked back to see if there was a penalty, realized there wasn't one, so I just kind of took off.
How did you sort of develop that? Did you do that at all in college, or just how did that come to mind in that moment?
I have no idea. Like when I look back on it, I was like, man, I don't know why I did that. But in the moment, I just kind of thought about it, and I looked back, and I saw there was no flag, so I took off.
So that's a first in your career.
Yeah, that was first for sure.
So what would you have done if you had seen a flag?
Oh, I still got the first down. That might not have been a full sprint the first down. Because, I mean, obviously there could be, like, hands to the face in the defense and stuff like that. But once I saw there wasn't a flag, I made sure to turn it up a little bit.
That is so relatable. It is so relatable to look at me like, oh, listen, if I'm going to run, I want it to be worth it. And also, why did you do that? I have no idea. Sometimes that's just the answer, man. Hey, why'd you do that thing? I don't know. Especially in a football game. I mean, that has to happen all the time in a football game. I just find it... I think it's excellent. A couple other things for you here tonight. We talked about this before the article came out last night with Seth Kizer, also of The Athletic, who's also on 810 today. He was on with Seren Petro on the program. NWHB.com, the 810 mobile app. We're going to set a record for plugging the ways you can get podcasts in like an hour of radio here. But I was combing through this article from Seth, and it's one of my favorite pieces of the year as far as like, hey, this is required reading if you want to feel like you know what's going on. Seth goes in to talk about why the Chiefs run defense being terrible. It really isn't a big deal. And it's such a crazy sort of place to start. But whenever you look at the analytics here, it's clear. It is obvious that what Seth is saying is like undeniably true. That at the very, very, very least, the Chiefs' pass defense being merely exploitable in moments is a bigger deal than the run defense being really, really, really bad. And that might be going against unconventional wisdom. That may be unconventional in its own way, or going against conventional wisdom or unconventional in its own way. I think I misspoke. That doesn't seem like something I would do, though. And going through the stats here, looking at expected points added by play type, which is what Seth is using for big chunks of this. Running the ball even well, as the Lions did and as every team has done so far this season, running the ball well actually costs the opposing team expected points added. Throwing the ball has brought tremendous success. And then even in big moments, the passing game has been the thing to continue drives, especially against the Lions, to score points, especially for the Lions. And that kind of reframing there is fascinating to me. And again, some of it, I think you just need to read it in Seth's words and the structure that he's put together. It's really, really valuable. The other thing, though, that we touched on a little bit last night that I have gotten only progressively more like high strung about is the time of possession discussion that happens at any given moment. There might be hyperbole in saying running backs don't matter or run defense doesn't matter or, you know, never pay a running back no matter what. There's probably hyperbole in there somewhere. Can I say this without being hyperbolic? Time of possession doesn't matter. It is such a weird stat that we have decided as a sports culture we're going to pay attention to whenever it's deeply unimportant. Number of possessions absolutely matters. But the core thing that we got to last night and that Seth touches on here is that there's no bonus for a long drive. The Chiefs got the same number of points on Bashaud Breeland's touchdown as they would have gotten if they had eaten up an entire quarter. Time of possession is even irrelevant if you're a bad team trying to slow down a game, because what you're really trying to do is limit the number of possessions that you're giving the other team, because the more possessions you have, the larger sample size you have, which means you have the continued expansion of what you expect to happen without randomness, which means the better team usually wins when you get a larger sample size. If the Chiefs and the Raiders would have played for 30 quarters, or you played 30 straight games, you're going to see the Chiefs win, you know, 28 of those. And the two games they lose, they're probably less possessions even in those individual ones. I love this conversation. It's probably going to keep popping up. It's really worth your time. Seth and I touched on a little bit last night where, again, Beards, I cannot remember for the life of me where people can get podcasts for things that happen on Sports Radio 810.
810 mobile app!
You could try the 810 mobile app. They might be there. Or to 810WHB.com, or maybe use a search almost entirely sports wherever you get your podcasts. If you missed that conversation with Seth, it was absolutely, absolutely excellent. I feel like we've covered our bases here pretty well. I got to tell you how obsessed I am about that audio from Patrick Mahomes, and then I got to yell at you about time of possession and run defense. This has been a pretty good night here on Sports Radio 810.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.